much as my neck, and I probably couldn't get my old one around my neck. But I want to say how thankful I am tonight to be here, and what Sister Smith was saying was ringing true with me. You know, this song I sing, I'm fixing to sing, because it stuck, kind of brought it to my mind. Sometimes I feel a beastly spirit in me running wild, and I ask myself this question: must you always be a child? However can I please the Lord if I rant and rave and frown? I'll never do the will of God until I put my spirit down. First time I heard that song, I can't remember who, somebody came through here and sang it. Brother McClung wrote it, but I can't remember who sang it. Somebody from Oklahoma City came through, and when I saw it, when I heard it, I told whoever it was after church, that's my song. Don't ever sing that in Little Rock again. That's my song. So, anyway, I'm just so thankful to be here tonight and every night. You know, we all go through, you know, times when you feel like you have to reach up to scratch a snake's belly, and, you know, you're in nothing, everything's ugly. Everything's down, and you don't even know why. And it changes from day to day. It can change from minute to minute. One minute, everything is just fine. Next minute, it's like, what'd they mean when they said that? Or what? You know what I mean. And it's usually it's Sister Tally that provokes it in me. But no, it's not. Not really. But I know how much she likes the attention. That's why I felt like I should... We love Sister Tally. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and sing this song before I dig myself a grave here. Play and see. Well, I'm just a pilgrim passing through this wicked world of sin. I've got my eyes upon the Lord, for he's my dearest friend. Promised me he'd stand by me through valleys on the way, and now I feel his precious spirit stronger every day. I'm being healed, spirit, soul, and body. Even now I feel his spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, and I feel his spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand. This question: must you always be a child? However can I please the Lord if I rant and rave and frown? I'll never do the will of God until I put my spirit down. I'm being healed, spirit, soul, and body. Even now I feel his spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, and I feel his spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand and lead me on. Just when I think I've overcome, a cross I've learned to bear. I've too much pride, I think I'm gaining ground. Just when I'm least expecting, old Adam's resurrecting. By the grace of God, I'll put my spirit down. I'm being healed, spirit, soul, and body. Even now I feel his spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, and I feel his spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand and lead me on. I'm being healed, spirit, soul, and body. Even now I feel his spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, and I feel his spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand and lead me on. Sometimes I feel a beastly spirit in me running wild, and I ask myself this question: must you always be a child? However can I please the Lord if I rant and rave and frown? I'll never do the will of God till I put my spirit down. I'm being healed, spirit, soul, and body. Even now I feel his spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, and I feel his spirit growing. Jesus,
Jesus, take my hand and lead me on. I'm being healed, 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 spirit, soul, and body even now. I feel His Spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, 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 and I feel His Spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand and lead me on.
And the reason I don't like to do that is because there's no camera over there, so I have to talk to that wall. But anyway, I was feeling that, and the thought was, when Brother Tucker, you know, you sat too long, you know, he just called your name out. You better say something. And I remember one night at the end of the service, and it was a midnight week service, and Brother John Peach was through town. And I was sitting on the back there in the band corner, and Brother John said, well, we can't close. I hadn't heard Sister Tyler testify. I was talking. I mean, my mind wasn't anywhere on the service, wasn't on what was going on, because I was on my way home. You know, you're already ready to go do what you're going to do at home. I went, And that's all I could think of. But, you know, if I could be ready in an instant. And Sister Smith and Sister Brenda and Juan was talking about, you know, you don't know when death's going to come your way. You don't know how long you have here. Brother Wayne was saying, you know, about 400 years, 50 years. You don't know. But if you could live so that if my time is right now, that I'm ready. You know, and I was thinking that, well, what if the Lord, you know, who's that? So you get to the gate and Sir Gabriel said, did you testify when you were supposed to testify? Did you sing when you were supposed to sing? Did you praise me when you had the opportunity? What would be my answer? Now, Sister Smith, I had a dream one time when I was trying to overcome some things and trying to learn, and beating, this hair, all I could see was this blood. And I was beating and beating. I said, why don't you die? Why don't you die? Why don't you die? Why don't you die? And I beat it, and it scared me so bad, all that blood. I woke up, and then that next night, the dream picked up where it stopped. I was still beating and beating on that. And why don't you die? Why don't you die? And in the dream of that second night, it said, he's not going to die. You got to kill him. And he was talking about the old man. And I've been killing that old man for the longest. He hadn't died yet. I hadn't killed him off yet. So I know it's a day-by-day walk with the Lord. I mean, God gives me every opportunity. I mean, he tells me about my mouth, my tongue, it just poof, it just spits out. And I said, oh, no, I knew better. I mean, I've been on this journey a little while, Paul David knows. When I saw that Thai bread, I said, no, that's not that necktie. I went back to Paul David, when you found that necktie? I know you didn't still have that necktie. Yes, sir, I did. It's the same necktie. 31 years old, it's the same one. How'd you find it? I had it all along. But those things, those memories, to Paul David, you know, to keep that necktie 30, that means something to him. You know, and I saw it, it meant something to me. What did I see? And I thought about that, I thought, well, what about my spirit, Paul David? I've been here more than any 31 years. How much of that do I still have? You know, there are things that I brought from Free Pentecost. When I walked through the doors, they were good things. There were things that I was taught when I was out in the world and sin that my dad told me. He was a sinner, y'all. Well, I'm telling you. But he told me that holds true today, right? When Brother Tucker told me, Brother Lineker told me, Brother Weiniger told me, Brother Smith told me, my husband told me, I still know it's the truth. I didn't do it yet. But it's not anybody's fault. It's my fault, Sister Smith. I'm at fault. I'm the one that needs to repent. I'm the one that needs to fall on my knees and humble myself before God. Let's the Lord come on and see. It's all in me. Me. He's given me this opportunity. And I was coming back yesterday up stagecoach no, day before yesterday, and this car was turning all those apartments up there, and it went, I heard this rubber, and it was coming toward me, and it just whipped around like it went around the car and back and down the street fast on that side of the road, and just whipped back into another curve and just quit. Apparently the brakes didn't work when they were hit. If that car had whipped out a little bit further and come straight in the lane, I'd be smushed to smithereens. But I have this opportunity to stand here today and still say, those things that are in me, it's largely up to me what I should do about these things. And I'm thanking God right now and every day, hallelujah, that he's given me this opportunity to overcome. You know, when I sit here and say, whose turn is it to testify? Why don't somebody get up and do something? Well, why not me? Why do I get up and do something? Because I didn't want to. I want to sit there and let somebody else. I didn't want to. But what does God want of me? What does he require of me? What is it? It mean that won't allow him to have his way. His way in me. If I'm the one that wants to go, if I'm the one that wants these blessings, and I know in my mind, in my heart, in my soul, that he's given me every opportunity day by day to come up a little higher, why don't I climb? I pray and ask the Lord to help me. And I know for a fact he helps me. It was the other day I was going to work. Now all the squabbling is getting on my nerves. I'm too old to be out there working with those people that are squabbling. Because I just want peace. You know, if they're supposed to ring and they're just trying to get the next customer. You know, it bothers me to badger folks. If they won't help, I'll help them. If I can tell them where it is. But if they don't want help, let them shop all they want. As long as, you know, they bring this stuff up there, let me ring. Or let somebody ring, because that's what I'm there for. But to just pester and keep asking, can I help them? And I know what they're doing when they're doing that over and over. They want that sale. Well, well and good. Let them have it. It's what I think in my mind. And I thought that same thing about God. Lord, bring unto me, you know, and when I was praying about that, to let me do and you bring to me who you have me to help or who you would have me to ring. And you know, he has not failed me not one time. And it scares me sometimes. This is about like those people praying for Peter and the little girl going out there, was it Rhoda, and says he's at the door. It was a Peter. Is that right? And then they're still praying, oh God, well, he's at the door. Open the door. No, oh, help, Lord, bring Peter, deliver Peter. He's in jail. He's at the door. Go unlock the door. And I think that way by God. I have this opportunity to walk. I have this opportunity to learn. I have this opportunity to cooperate with the Spirit. I have this chance. He's at the door. You know, no, I'm not asking him to deliver him from the prison. He's already delivered from the son of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Already unlock the door. If I just walk, if I just believe, he's already said I can do it. He's already given me the opportunity. Why don't I do it? Hallelujah. He's at the door. He's already delivered. He's already answered that prayer. Just allow me to accept that answer and then do something about it. I love the Lord. I praise him. I thank him for the opportunity he's given me. Now, just let me do it. Hallelujah. Dear Jesus.
And that is why I love him so, because he said that I could go. That's too low. And that is why I love him so, because he said that I could go. He only asked me for my life, give to him a sacrifice. And that is why I love him so, because he said that I could go. He only asked me for my life, to give to him a sacrifice. And that is why, oh,
He's real in my soul. My God is real,
for He has washed
and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold.
Oh, my God
is real,
for I can feel in my
thankful to be here, and like Brother McGowan said, I want to not just sit here, and I want to get up and do my part too, but I do owe the Lord a praise just for His faithfulness to me, and that I know that no matter where I am in my life, and the highs or the lows, that I still, you know, owe the Lord a praise and everything give thanks. And that's what I want to continually do is to give thanks. And because I know he's faithful and I know that he knows my needs and he's going to supply my need. And Brother Curtis, that really encouraged me, y'all's testimony, what the Lord's doing. And I know that in his time and in his season, he has everything for us. And I was just going to kind of get up until Brother Paul David was ready to get up. But I didn't want another service to go by without letting the Lord know. Just no matter where I am, I want to give him praise and thanks for what he's done in my life and for saving me and for always being there for me. No matter what I've gone through, every time I turn around, there he is. And I'm just thankful for him walking with me and holding me when I need help and just to know that he's always there with me.
My mind was not on church, but God's helped me. God's helped all of us. And that song, Brother Curtis, our God is real. He is real. We can read the stories in the Bible where God helped those people. He did things for these people that was unreal. My son, Jared, is going to college over here at Conway. And the college he's going to is a pretty liberal college. And he's stretched my mind a little bit. He said, Daddy, of course, I don't really think he's going in a positive direction, but he has chose to do that. And he has helped me to, to be ready to defend what I believe. And he's come home and asked me, he said, Daddy, he said, if you was talking to someone that was of another religion, he said, how could you convince them that those crazy things in the Bible happened? I said, well, son, I wasn't back there. I can't prove anything. We have to accept that by faith. He said, well, why don't we just take their book and accept that by faith? I said, well, there are some facts we need to consider here. I said, first off, the history of the Bible. That's something to consider compared to some of these other books. And then the fact that we have a Savior that died on the cross for our sins. No other religion has that kind of God that they talk to when they get on their knees and knock on heaven's door or whatever door they knock on. But that's what we have. We have a Savior we can go to. He's not a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he knows. He was tempted in all such like points such as we are. And that makes me feel good when I talk to him, because knowing that he can read my thoughts, I feel like sometimes when I get on my knees, I say, God, I know you know what I think, but I'm going to talk to you anyhow. You know, and a friend is one who knows all about you and loves you anyway. Loves you anyway. And, you know, I might be able to hide from you folks what I don't want y'all to know, but that's not important. Hiding from you, you're not going to give me life. Y'all not going to, you might could kill me, make me stop breathing, but you really can't kill me. My brother was trying to convince me one time it wasn't anybody's fault if I got mad. Like if you come up and slapped me real hard and I supposedly retaliated and jumped on you, that's not your fault. It's not your fault if I do wrong. Of course, when he tried to convince me of that, he had a fight on his hands. Because I don't give up easy. But that's the same way it is with killing me. You can't kill me. You can make me stop breathing, but you can't kill me. That life that you was talking about. Somebody, I can't remember who was talking about that life. We can obtain that life. And I believe we can obtain it now. I know our outward house perishes day by day. I don't look like I did. none of us look like we did a long time ago. But we're on a journey, and we can have that life. And even though we lay down our life here, we actually just stop breathing. We're still on that journey. When you roll my casket up there, wherever my last service is held, when that my casket is rolled up there and you say the final words over me, I'm not gone. I'm planning on seeing you folks again one day. I am planning on, you know, I drive a truck for a living right now. And I go up in New York City, there's people everywhere. I mean, wall to wall. And I go up and I look at them people and I say, wow, who's going to share with these people what they need for getting on that journey with our Savior, getting in a positive direction? And those people really are dead. Some of them never have really been born again or been born spiritually. You know, that's what I'm talking about. They've never been born. They're gone. They're not here yet. I know that sounds silly talking like that. But only the ones of us that have been born again, we call it born again, but we've been born that new birth, we're the ones that's alive. We're the ones that's making progress, hopefully in a forward direction. And it's our job to share with others this good news, this gospel, you know, this good news that we have. And that's the point I'm making. We're on a journey. We're alive. And my life don't stop when I quit breathing. I had a little experience sometime back. The first time they sent me up to New York, I was scared. Scared, whichever way you want to say it. And I got on my knees and I prayed. I said, God, I need protection. And it was like a little voice inside of me said, protection from what? What have we been taught? Who have we been taught our worst enemy is? Yeah, that guy you see when you look in the mirror. And that's that question. It said, who need protection from? And that question. And I said, and then I realized, I said, whoa, my worst enemy's not outside this truck. He's in here with me. I said, God, I still need protection. I need help. And I laid down, went to sleep, and I, knowing, that's when I changed my mind about somebody can make me stop breathing, but they can't kill me. I'm the only one that can kill myself. You know, what is that scripture in the Bible? It says, fear not him which is able to destroy your body, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Who is that guy? I used to think it was God. God don't want to kill us. Who is the one? We're self-destruct creatures. That's what we are. The biggest guy for us to be afraid of is the man on the screen up there. That's my worst enemy right there. Him. There you go. Thank you. Appreciate that. So I prayed and I went to bed that night and I slept. I said, God, you are so good. And even this week, I had a little, well, last month, I had a little battle, and I called it a little battle. I felt like it was a big one. 3 nights this week, I was unable to sleep. I was thinking about it. I said, God, you know Jesus suffered rejection. The Bible said he came to his own, and his own received him not. And this little battle that I had was rejection. and it was by my own children, of all people. Brother Lineker told us one time, he said, when children are little, they step on your toes. When they get big, they step on your heart. And I, when he said that, I thought, that'll never happen to me. No, I'm too tough. Boy, let me tell you something. I'm just as susceptible as anybody. And I prayed. I said, God, I need help. You know, this deal here is about to, you know, working me over. I realized I was having to grow up a little bit, and that hurt. Man, let me tell you, what do they call it, growing pains? Oh, I hate growing pains. Matter of fact, I never really wanted to grow up. I still don't want to grow up. You know, I was playing with these little dolls back here. I like doing stuff like that. Anyway, a little girl this week was at a place I made a delivery at, and the place was full of adults. Who did I cuddle up next to? The little girl. I thought to myself, this is my age group right here. Man. Anyway, but I prayed. I said, God, I need help here. Man, this thing here is working me over. And I felt like God told me, you need to grow up. You need to grow up. And it was my daughter, you know, is what the conflict was with, and I thanked my daughter for helping me grow up. and I ironed it out. She and I together ironed it out. But, you know, Jesus suffered rejection too. And I was thinking about that going down the road this week. I said, Lord, wow, that's amazing. Jesus, he's our Savior. He's our King and worthy to be. He's a friend. And when he went to the cross, he had the power. He could have called 12 legions of angels. Can anybody tell me how many is in a legion, those Roman legions, back in the day that they was here? I think it was more than that. I think I heard it was like 6,000 people was in a legion. I don't know about that. I had to study up on that. But if the number I heard was right, you multiply 12 times 6,000, that's a lot of angels. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of firepower. It was only two angels in the Old Testament that destroyed 100,000 Syrians. Just two. Was it one? One. One. Okay, thank you. Can you imagine what 72,000 would do? We wouldn't have a chance. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. I was riding down the road thinking about that this week, and I started crying. I said, God, you are our friend. My God is real, Brother Curtis. Yeah, he's real. Our God is real. And I don't mind sharing him with people. It don't bother me in the least. Matter of fact, I get my horn out every now and then. I take it with me on my truck. I was surrounded by a concrete wall up in New York City. Music echoes off the concrete walls. I love doing that. I got out of my truck, got my horn. Well, I opened the door, was blowing it. People were walking by, and I was playing gospel music. And they evidently liked it. I mean, they was giving me the thumbs up. You know, you might say, well, some people love Jesus and some people don't. What are you going to do when you suffer rejection from people that don't? Well, you're just going to keep going anyway. That's what you're going to do. Yeah, you're just going to keep on promoting what you think's right anyway. And I believe Jesus is right. He's our King. He's our Savior. And I'm sorry if I'm boring you folks. I get started talking about it, and I feel like that farmer that our brother Wayne talked about. You know, I guess you've told that story 10,000 times. Has everybody heard that story? I don't have to tell if y'all have all heard it. The farmer that went to church messed up the choir with his singing, got him out of key and off to him. The choir was singing. This farmer, what was his name? Brother John. Thank you, Ed. He'd get to singing with them because they'd start singing them old songs of Zion. And he'd get them off key, out of tune. Well, I think that's the same thing. Off time. Well, deacons come to the minister and said, you're going to have to do something about this man. He's messing our choir up. We pay them good money to entertain us. Entertain us. Entertain. Well, preacher said, all right, I'll do something about it. So he went out to the old farmer's house, found him plowing in the field, got out of his car, walked across the field, and said, hey, Brother John. Brother John, hello, Reverend. And the minister told him, said, listen, our choir, we pay them good money. We're going to have to ask you to quit singing when they get up there singing. You get them off time and out of key, or out of time and off key. Anyway, the farmer said, Reverend, I'm sorry. I don't mean to cause any trouble. He said, but you know what? When they get up there and start singing them songs, talking about the good things of Jesus, he said, it inspires my soul. As a matter of fact, just hold these meals. He had to get loose right there. You know, that's what I feel like when I start talking about the good things of the Lord. You know, people look at me and they say, that's all you talk about. Well, it ain't all I talk about, but I think it's a good subject. I think it's a real good subject. I can't help it if when people talk about football, I kind of have to be quiet. I keep up with Razorback backs a little bit, not much. People start talking about baseball, I don't keep up with much of that. Car racing, don't keep up with that. But when they start talking about Jesus, I can't help it. My antennas start going up. When they start talking about the good things of God, I say, hey, what are you talking about? Yeah, I know a little bit about that. Not a whole bunch, but a little bit. Every little bit helps. I said, you know, I feel like if they've got some more I can learn, thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I feel good about God. Brother Thompson got up preached today. He really preached a good message. Really, I had a lot to say. I wanted to talk too. You know, it's bad when you feel like saying, "Ho, be quiet, sit down. I want to talk." You know, but you know when God moves on someone else, that's the one that's supposed to talk. You know, I can save mine for next Sunday, or whenever God will let me give it. But you know, that fire down inside of us should be getting brighter, should be getting stronger. That fire down inside of us should be getting more like Him, more like Him. And I thank Him for letting me serve Him. It's an honor to serve our Savior. Honor to serve Him. And when the day comes, if He lets me give my life for Him, I want to have the same attitude. I've studied books where people, they ask them, they start light the torch under them. And they say, "Do you have something to say?" "Yeah, I have something to say." "Okay, say it." And their response was, "I'm sorry, I only have one body to give. I'm sorry, I don't have more. I'm sorry, I don't have two or three bodies to let my Jesus know that I want to be on His side." Anyway, I'm happy to be here today. God is good. There is a good feeling here, a wonderful feeling. God is good. He's our best friend. I thank Him for being our friend.
When people talk about Jesus, I get pulled right into those conversations too. And I just feel like this has been a good day, good service tonight, real encouraging. And before we go home tonight, let's just all stand and praise God one more time, thank Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We give you thanks, Lord, for the goodness.